Look again at the book of Philippians. Next Lord's Day morning, we will be back in Nehemiah and Ceteris Paribus, unless something else happens. Unless the Lord lays it on my heart, we should be back in Nehemiah this next Lord's Day morning. Philippians chapter 4. Stand for the reading of God's Word, please. I'm going to read verse 1 down through verse 9. Let's hear the Word of the Lord. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche, to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Please be seated. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Please pray for me as I try to preach this text. Pray for yourselves also as you sit in the proclamation of God's Word this morning. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, if it would come to our own efforts to profit from your word read or preached, it would be all for naught. So we put forth effort, O God, this morning as we would engage in listening to the word of God preached. But Lord God, we ask you to bless that as it goes forth to our own spiritual well-being, our growth in grace, our growth in love for Christ and in trust for the Savior. Lord, grant that to us, we ask. Help me as I preach your word, Lord. Give me grace upon grace. I'm not sufficient unto myself for these things. Oh, Lord, grant that to me, I ask. Please be with me as I preach your word and bless that word for your people, and that Christ might be honored and that we may grow in knowledge and grace of the Savior. In Christ's name, amen. Several years ago, a song was released by the Rastafarian Bob Marley, who was something of a stoner. And the song was, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." Well, that's great advice. Don't worry, be happy. But the practicality of it is, how do we do that? How do we live our lives in such a way that we don't worry, that we have confidence, we have a sense of hope, we have a sense of God's presence with us, we have a sense and understanding that nothing is going to come into our lives without God being there to help us? How do we come to that so that we're not fretful, and so that we're not anxious, so that we don't have a fear and dread of a tomorrow that's going to come and perhaps have something in it that is above and beyond what we think we are able to deal with? Well, the Apostle Paul talks about that in this text this morning, of how we can live and have peace, how we can live and have hope when you are told something that is devastating. When your marriage perhaps is not good, when your job is not good, when your relationship with your children is not good, when you have unconverted children and they want nothing to do with the God that you love and the gospel that you adore, how do we deal with those things? Well, he tells us here in the text this morning, and the key word, if we could sum it up in one word, it is the word prayer. We order our lives with prayer. But have us see this morning. Since God is always able and willing to listen to us as we come before Him with our petitions, as we come before Him with our requests, since He is always willing and able to act on these things as believers, We should order our prayers, place them in His hands, and let it go at that. Not that we don't try, not that we don't work, not that we don't do the things we're supposed to do, but we can't change some things. We simply can't. There are things in our life that are there and we cannot alter them. Well, how do we live with peace? How do we live with hope? How do we live being not driven to anxiety and worry about these things that come into our life that we would never have chosen them? When you're told you have a disease, when you're told your child has a disease, when one spouse says to the other, I'm gone, and I'm not coming back. Or again, when you have a child that has no sense at all of a care for the gospel. How do we deal with that when it comes into our life? Well, we make it a matter of prayer. I hope that comes out clearly this morning. See three things from this text. The first thing is the necessity of prayer, the scope of prayer, and then finally the benefit of prayer in the life of the believer. And so the necessity of prayer first, as we look at this morning. And we begin by noting that we have many blessings in our lives. Living in this world does not mean that we, because it's fallen, because it's broken, it doesn't mean that we don't enjoy things. We do. And I can tell you that I consider myself extremely blessed by the Lord. Extremely blessed by God. I have a wife that's lovely and kind of fun. I have children that love me. I have daughters-in-laws that, as far as I can tell, love me. I have grandchildren that I think love me. And so I'm just terribly blessed. And to have been the pastor here at this church for 26 years and to have a congregation that by and large loves me, as far as I know, and the Lord having blessed the ministry of the proclamation of His Word all of these years is a great blessing to me. And to have blessed the ministry in so many different ways is indeed a great blessing. But having said that, we also recognize that we live in a world that has difficulties in it day in and day out. Day in and day out. And so we recognize that we can be driven to worry. We can be driven to anxiety. We can be driven to a place in our life when all we can think about is not the Lord, but those problems that we are facing day in and day out. Problems that come and plague us day in and day out. And what happens then? Well, we are to understand, as Christians, we are to be concerned. We are not to be heartless. If anybody in the world is to have compassion and concern, it's the Christian. The Apostle Paul, we won't turn to it and read it, but if we looked at Philippians chapter 2, 19 through 20, Paul says there that Timothy has a concern and love for the people in the church. In 2 Corinthians 11, 28, the Apostle Paul even used the term his anxiety over the church. His concern for the people there, the church being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, such is his desire and burden for the church. That is how he puts it there in that text. Well, I think two things have to be considered. The one thing is the degree. When does concern spill over into the area of anxiety? When does concern become something that is a sin, if you will? Well, I think there are two things that we have to consider. One is the degree of our concern. The second thing is the object of our concern. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, the Lord's, that's a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And listen to what Jesus says there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body. And what you will put on is not life more than food and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor heap nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? And so Jesus here is talking about do we not have a are we not convinced that the day-to-day necessities of life, God's going to provide those for us? Don't worry about those things, Christ says. They will be provided for you one way or another. Don't worry about those things. But then we get into the things that are really, I think, legitimate, a concern for the gospel, a concern for the church. And I'm not saying, Jesus does not say don't pray about these things. He says pray about them, don't worry about them. In the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. We are to pray for the Lord's provision, but not to be fretful about it. But then there should be a passion that we have in our hearts and minds for God's people, for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we recognize and understand the church is under assault at all times. As a believer, you're under assault at all times by Satan. You'll never think he doesn't exist. You're not believing what Jesus believed and taught if you don't believe that Satan exists. So as a Christian, then, you are under assault at all times, and one of the best things he can do for us is convince you of this: God doesn't care. He doesn't care about you. If he did care about you, really, you wouldn't be going through this. God doesn't care about you. And so we recognize that we are under his assault ever and always, and it is that he never, ever leaves us alone. So it is that we have those areas that we have to be concerned. It's legitimate to have a concern for the church and God's people. But how far should that go? How far should the concerns go for someone who is sick? And for someone who is in a difficult situation at work? It is when the concern bleeds over into the area of anxiety and we fail to be trusting God. We fail to have a mind and a heart that is settled upon the fact that my God cares. Now, we can have the burden, you see, of a trial. But we have that burden of that trial under the mindset, or along with the mindset, that God has His hand in this. That He's not abandoned me. He's not forsaken me. He has not put me in a situation and said, adios, I'm gone. It's none of that at all. We are to be trusting that God is with us, and we are to be trusting that He is with us always. When we get into the realm of anxiety, when we fall into that area of not trusting that God cares about us or that God is with us, we begin to lose our sense of the joy of the Christian life. We lose that. We lose the pleasure of God's company. We lose the pleasure of the fellowship of the saints of God when we bleed over in and fall over into that area of anxiety and fretfulness. We don't enjoy God. Well, how do we overcome that? We overcome that by trusting in the Lord, by putting our faith and our hope and trust in Him. You remember when Mary and Martha, there in the gospel, and there was this desire, Lord, tell my sister to get up and help me. Tell her to be about the business of serving you all. And he says, Martha, you know, you're worried and fretting about so many different things. Only one thing is necessary. And you see what she was missing out on, an opportunity to be sitting at the feet of Christ, hearing Him teach. She was missing out on all of that because she was so concerned with being a good hostess. It's fine to be a good hostess, but if Jesus is there, a sandwich will do. All this preparation. And what Jesus would say, either one of two things, one bit of food will be fine, or part of the higher thing, what's necessary is the gospel. What's necessary is to know me, Martha. And you're missing out by being anxious about so many things that are not that terribly, terribly important. So we are instructed not to be fretful, not to be worrisome about things. And some things just don't matter that much. the basic needs that God gives to us. If we have that, we are to be content with that. Tomorrow, we have no idea what's going to happen. Don't borrow trouble that may never come. And things that cannot, we cannot change them. We rest in the confidence of that and the knowledge of that. We are not to worry about things, but what do? We are to deal with them through prayer. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Be anxious in nothing. Don't be fretful. Don't be worrying. Don't be trying to figure out how to manipulate and change things you can't change. Don't do that. Do the best you can. Exercise your responsibility. But there are times when you're going to be facing something that's there and it ain't going away. What do? Well, again, the Apostle Paul, don't be anxious in anything. But with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So then anxiety is dealt with through prayer in your life. And there's a strong contrast here, a very strong contrast in the language. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. But pray. The antidote, the tranquilizer, if you will, of life. Prayer. Don't worry, but pray. Bring these things into and before the Lord. And prayer, then, is the ordained means for God to accomplish His purposes in this life. And it gives to us a sense of calm and peace. The problem can still be there. The problem may not be gone. Here's the question. Do you then, as a Christian, have to have the problem resolved before you can have peace? Before you can trust God? That's not trusting God. Is it this? Is this the way that you think and reason that you have to get this out of my life? And if you don't get it out of my life, I simply cannot and will not be at peace. We will not know the pleasure of your company. James, in his little epistle, says this, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Listen as I continue. Few know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So James is saying there, count it joy because God's at work. Because it is in the times of those trials, you see, that we are driven to the Lord. That we're driven on our knees. That we're driven to plead before the Lord. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. Not that the trial is pleasant. It's not intended to be pleasant. Not that the trial is easy. It's not intended to be easy. But that the trial brings us to a point of seeking God's help and seeking God's face and knowing His presence. And what does it say in the next verse? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives freely. And the whole point there is, if you are in the midst of a trial, if you are in the midst of something that is overwhelming to you and something that's challenging your faith again and again and again, then ask God, Lord, help me to deal with this. Help me to understand what I'm to do. And we don't go in prayer and say, Lord, you better change this. You better do this, you better do that. And I'm telling you, you better do this and you better do that. How audacious is that? And yet how often do we find our prayers typed in that sort of script, if you will? No, James says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and go before the Lord and seek His face in this. And so prayer then gives us a sense of God's peace and presence in our life. Well, the next thing is the scope of the prayer. It says all matters are worthy of prayer. Be anxious in nothing. And so that means two things. First thing is there is nothing too small for God to care about. Nothing too small, nothing insignificant in your life for God to care about. Second thing is, there's nothing too big that God can't handle. One of the most marvelous, marvelous expressions of God's power, at least I've seen in a while, is Linda Thurman's healing. I didn't think she was going to make it. At times, I just didn't. Because it went from bad to worse and to worse and to worse. And yet the Lord sustained her. And that's a direct answer to the prayers of God's people. And don't ever say, well, that would have happened anyway. Not according to Scripture. According to the Word of God, God answers and responds to prayer. And so we give Him the glory for it. And I can't tell you how encouraging it was to me to know there were people in this church praying for my grandson. That was scary. It was hard to watch. You know, we have a two-week-old that's suffering like that. It'll tear your heart out. But people prayed. And the next morning, after he started the right antibiotics, he was improved. That was encouraging. But to be in a situation like that and recognizing this, I've got no place else to go. No place else to go but God. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to come to Him. So the scope of prayer, all things matter to the Lord in your life. There's nothing that doesn't matter. And what can you do on your own anyway? You think about that. What can you accomplish on your own? It is in Him that we live, we move, and we have our being. What can you accomplish on your own? The answer is nothing. Listen to this. You can't draw the next breath in your lungs without God's assistance and help and blessing. Can't do it. Because when He's tired of you breathing, if we could put it that way, you won't breathe anymore. When He wants you to stop breathing, you'll stop. And no matter what you do, when your time comes, you're gone. So who are you going to turn to? Who are you going to call, as the old movie went? You're going to call on the Lord, not the Ghostbusters, the Lord. Call on our God and our Savior who cares about us. And praying to God, I think we demonstrate several things in prayer. In the first place, it represents and demonstrates our total dependence upon God for all things. All things you need, all things you have, come to you from God. They all come from the Lord. Everything needful for life comes from the Lord. Everything does. So prayer then, in the first place, demonstrates our need for the Lord in our lives, our dependence upon God for all things. The second thing it demonstrates, a recognition that God cares for us, that He loves us. Listen to this. This is from Ephesians. This is a prayer that the Apostle Paul prays. It's in Ephesians, the third chapter, and it starts in verse 14 of chapter 3. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what are the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So then we understand that our God loves us. And again, in the midst of the storms, when the water's washing over the deck of life, you're about to be swept over into the sea of despair. When that's about to happen to you, remember God's love, the cross of Calvary. That's how you see it so clearly demonstrated, the cross of Calvary, when Christ died for the sins of His people. And so He can say to us, well done, through Christ. He can say that to us. And the third thing is that we understand that God's provision and His providence, and that He upholds us and He controls history, and He is the sovereign God who provides for us. So those three things are clearly seen. Many more things can be said, but the three things for this purpose this morning is the total dependence upon God, a recognition God cares for us and loves us, and then that God providentially cares for us day in and day out. And the scope of prayer is all things. Be anxious in nothing, but in everything, by your prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so then the benefit of prayer very quickly. I'm going to skip that and come back to that later. We are to pray with thanksgiving. We are to give God thanks for the things that He's done and thanks for the things He will do. whatever that may happen to be. Ken often in his prayer says, and we will thank you for this. In other words, the answer to God's prayer, whatever it is, we will thank you for this. Because God is worthy of thanksgiving ever and always. He is worthy of thanksgiving. We are to thank Him. We are to thank Him for His goodness. We are to thank Him for His love. We are to thank Him for His provisions to us in this life. Be anxious in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let it be known to God. Give it to Him. And then we get into this idea of these military terms. This last section, really the high benefit of taking them to the Lord. The peace of God that passes all understandings will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The highest possible kind of peace will exist. You will experience. The peace of God. Not the peace of the world that vanishes and disappears very quickly. Not the peace that rests on circumstances, because they change constantly, but rather a peace that comes from the God who rules over all things in heaven. Committing our way to God and feeling that He will order all things aright is a peace which we have given nowhere else. Committing those things to God and understanding He is going to order all things aright, whatever it is that happens, we give it to Him and we leave it there. And we are furnished with a great peace that one can have nowhere else. A peace that is to be had in no other place. And notice this, it shall keep our hearts and minds. It's like a guard. It's like a guard that is set before us. That peace of God. And it's fighting off anxiety. And it's fighting off despair. Because our focus is upon God and His provision always. The peace of God. Once you give it into God's hand, there's that peace to be had. That peace of God that passes comprehension, passes understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so that when anxiety would attempt to come against us, there's that peace that we have from God pushing it away. Guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Will protect us in Christ Jesus. Guarded as a camp is guarded by an impenetrable wall. And the last thing to note here, it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have that great peace. Oh, why is that? Why is it through Christ? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, and because in the first place, He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is the one who has gone to the cross of Calvary, taken our punishment upon Himself for all of our sins upon the cross of Calvary. Under the penalty of death for them, being laid to His account and then raised from the dead. And you see, Christ is the source of our peace. Through Christ Jesus. And I think that's again when I said earlier, if we're doubting, we go to the cross. We go to redemption, or if you will, go to the empty tomb. Go to the resurrected Savior through Christ Jesus. He who did not withhold His own Son from us, how can He not with Him freely give us all things? He who did not withhold His only Son from us, how can He not with Him freely give us all things? Through Christ Jesus, we have that abiding hope. We have that constant in our life. We have that sense of God's presence with us always through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this quote. Recalling God's goodness and mercy will save us from many pitfalls which await the ungrateful soul. Overcome with immediate problems, forgetfulness, and God's gracious dwellings with us in the past. The forgetful heart. The forgetful mind. Again, really, as God's goodness and mercy will save us from many pitfalls which await the one who is forgetful. Await the one who has forgotten God's goodness and God's grace. This morning in my Sunday school class, I wish I'd taught it before I did this sermon, because so much of it dwelt so well with what we're going to consider this morning. The first thing that I would bring to you is Habakkuk 2:4 again. We have to have, in order for us to persevere through trials like this, we have to have a sense of trust in God. the just shall live by faith. The just shall live in abiding trust in the goodness of God and in a sense of hope. And listen to Psalm 119. Again, this came from our Sunday school class this morning. Psalm 119 and verse 75. I wrote down the right one. I hope I did. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. You hear that? I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. So this God who brings trials into our life is the God who gives us strength to deal with them. Again, this one quote from A.W. Pink. When we trustfully resign ourselves and all our affairs into the hands, fully persuaded of His love and faithfulness, the sooner shall we be satisfied with His providence and realize that He does all things well. One more time, because some of y'all were drifting away. When we trustfully resign ourselves, and all our affairs into God's hands, fully persuaded of His love and faithfulness, the sooner shall we be satisfied with His providence and realize that He doeth all things well. Whatever we're dealing with in our life is not there by chance. And the same God who in His providence has brought it is the God who will give us strength to deal with it. And the God who will uphold us in the midst of it. You know, this morning, tonight, I'm going to be preaching just going through the Lord's Prayer. And it'll be just the first one, Our Father. Not that I'm a brilliant exegete or anything of that nature, but I have a lot of commentaries that I read. And they're very helpful to be able to construct a sermon out of that one word, Our Father. And one thing one of them said, I don't remember which one it was that said this, is that Christians so often are woefully lacking in their prayer life. The easiest thing to do, one said, is the most neglected. I don't think praying is easy myself. I think it is work. It's effort. But that's where our strength and confidence comes from and our peace comes from, seeking it out. You don't have because you do not ask, or you ask with wrong motives, James says. So do you know Christ this morning? Are you familiar with the Savior? Do you know Him? Do you recognize that you are a sinner and that you're in need of God's grace to deal with that sin in your life? God takes it pretty seriously, takes it very seriously, takes it seriously enough to send His Son into the world to die for it. Are you trusting Jesus? If not, you need to come to that trust in Christ. And if you are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, remember that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never abandon you. There are some things that we may deal with that absolutely overwhelm us with grief. But God will be with us. And we will know His presence and we will know His peace because He's there and He will uphold us. Let's pray.